I took off this week and enjoyed the week just sitting by and really doing a whole lot of nothing, but just me and my wife enjoying being out. And I thank the Lord for the time that we had away. And I thank the Lord for my staff that was here, our deacons, and the people that took care of things while we were out. You're very appreciated. This morning, I want to talk. You know, I went into a house the other day, and it was cluttered. And I visited a little bit, and went room to room, and went by the closet. It was cluttered. I'm not talking about your house. I'm talking about mine. Could have been anybody's, though, couldn't it? Because we all have cluttered lives in a way. How do they get that way? Well, you know, I've got a drawer. And in that drawer, y'all got a junk drawer? Right. Everybody's got a junk drawer. If you ain't got a junk drawer, you're something wrong with you. But in that junk drawer, I've got some good junk. I just can't find it, you know? I know it's there somewhere, you know, and you look and you look and you look, and after a while I get tired of looking, and usually I end up going and getting something else because I couldn't find that one. But it's always there. I know it's there. I haven't lost it. It's there. And one day when I'm not doing anything and I take that junk drawer and I dump it out and start going through it, I find it. And every once in a while we have to straighten things out, don't we, like that? Just to realize what we have. Well, today I want to talk about cluttered lives. Cluttered lives, for sometimes our lives are like those junk drawers, aren't they? They just get kind of overpacked with things, and we know it's there, but we just can't find it. And I want us to look at a book of the Bible that we don't look at very often. It's Ecclesiastes. I didn't say a bad word. It's in the Bible. Ecclesiastes. Look in the Bible. Find Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2. Verse 1. In this passage of Scripture, we find a man who has a cluttered life. And I want you to look at that this morning. And I want to think about that. Ecclesiastes, that's over in the Old Testament. You know, I got, and I'm not reading out of the King James Version. There's a lot of things this morning that I'm doing that's different. First of all, it's not a King James Version. It's the NET Bible. I like the way it reads. I will go back to my King James, but I wanted to read it out of this because this little Bible really explains some of the words that we might not understand, or you might understand, but I didn't understand them in the King James, so I said, well, I got to go to something else and look at it, find out what that means. And I did, and I like this version, so I'm reading it. Verse 1, I thought to myself, come now, I will try self-indulgence, pleasure, to see if it's worthwhile. But I found that it was also fruitful. I said of partying, it's folly. And of self-indulgence, pleasure, it accomplishes nothing. I thought deeply about the effects of indulging myself with wine. And all the while my mind was guiding me with wisdom and the effects of behaving foolishly so that I might discover what is profitable for people to do on earth during, listen at this, the few days of their lives. I increased my possessions. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I designed royal gardens and parks for myself, and I planted them, all kinds of fruit trees in them. I constructed pools of water for myself to irrigate my groves of furnishing trees. I purchased male and female slaves, and I owned slaves who were born in my house. I also possessed more livestock, both herds and flocks, than any of my predecessors in Jerusalem. I also amassed silver and gold for myself, as well as valuable treasures taken from kingdoms and provinces. I acquired male singers and female singers for myself. And what gives a man sensual delight? A harem of beautiful concubines. So I was far wealthier than all my predecessors in Jerusalem, yet I maintained my objectivity. I did not restrain myself from getting whatever I wanted. I did not deny myself anything that would bring me pleasure. So all my accomplishments gave me joy. This was my reward for all my efforts. Yet when I reflected on everything I had accomplished and on all the efforts that I had expended to accomplish it, I concluded all these achievements and possessions are utterly profitless. Like chasing the wind, there is nothing gained from them on earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today as we look at this point of Scripture, and we've read these words, and Lord, as I read these words, they just speak to our hearts. For in them we find ourselves. We find ourselves in our lives busy. We find ourselves reaching out in self-indulgence. We find ourselves out of control. And Lord, we find ourselves full of the things of the world. And Lord, as we look at the end of this passage of Scripture, it says all of these things mean nothing, like chasing the wind. And this morning, Lord, if there's someone here that their lives are cluttered, we have all these things. God, may we see that we're out of control. And Lord, we ask you to show us the cure for these things so that we can get our lives in a new perspective. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I was thinking about this week when we went to do nothing and just relax, of all the things that we have and why we have them and what good are they and what are they doing in our life to profit the kingdom of heaven. And I believe I find myself like Solomon. You see, we have appointments that we make every day. Amen. We fill our calendars. I don't know about you, but I have a calendar on my desk. I have a calendar on my phone. I have a calendar, you know, at the house. And we fill those calendars with all the appointments, all the meetings, all the activities in life. We fill them with our children's activities and the ball games and the things that we do. We fill our calendars with our friends and doing things with our friends. We fill our calendar with our work, but very little time do we fill our calendars with God. Have you ever put God on your calendar? We ought to. He ought to be there every Sunday morning. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And he ought to be the first one we put on our calendar. You ever thought about that? On the start of a new year and the rest of this year, you ought to just go to your calendar and on Sunday morning write God there. And put on your calendar from 8:45 till 12 o'clock, God. I will spend time that morning with God. On Monday morning, you ought to try putting on your calendar sometime during the day, God. On Tuesday morning, put God. Sometime during the day, write his name there so you can remember, I'm going to spend some time with God. And then on Wednesday, I think we ought to put on our calendar, God. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we have Bible study here. You know, we canceled last Wednesday night. And I made the announcement. I didn't have to make the announcement, folks. Some of you would have known we canceled service on Wednesday night. You know, some would and some wouldn't. But, you know, if you put God on your calendar, you know, when I put appointments on my calendar, I set aside times to make those appointments, and those appointments are there, and I'm going to meet those appointments. And if we put God on our calendar like that, I believe we'll spend more time with God. You see, we fill our calendars mainly, oh, like Solomon filled his life with stuff. And, you know, like our junk drawers at the time, those things seemed important. You know, I've got a nice watch, and it's a nice watch. I don't wear it too much. I do wear it every once in a while, but I put it in that drawer, and I don't think about it there for some reason. And not only that, when I've got several watches there. Some of them run, some of them don't run. You're like that. I don't know why we don't throw them things away when they quit, you know. But you can go down to Walmart and you can buy you a $2 watch, and here's what happens. You put it on, you put your expensive one in the drawer, and when that cheap one wears out, you put it in a drawer with the expensive one and go buy you another one. You do that? I do that. You know, I store things evidently, and you run out of room to store things, so like Solomon, we build more to store more stuff. And the first thing you know, we've got stuff everywhere, and we don't know where it's at. And so when we can't find it, I got a garage full of stuff. You got a garage full of stuff. I've been to some of your houses. I know you're just like me, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we can't find that stuff, you know what we do? We run down to Lowe's or Walmart somewhere and get another one. Because it's easier to go find that and buy it than it is to go through all that garage looking for that one we put away. Now, I know some of you women are the same way. You put things up and you don't know where you put them. I've heard you tell me that. You know you got it, but you just put it up and you don't know. It's the same deal as a man putting something in the garage out there and can't find it. You see? And our lives are like Solomon's much of the time. They just become cluttered with stuff in our lives and appointments in our life. Now, I want to show you what here the Bible says, a characteristic of a cluttered life. Look at verse 4. I increased my possessions. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I designed royal gardens. I planted all kinds of fruit trees. I constructed pools. What is he doing? He's busy. He's busy. Now, there's nothing wrong with being busy. Activity is not wrong in and of itself, but when our activities, when our busyness results in a neglected relationship with God, and it does most of the time, amen? Preacher, I would come to church, but I got this going on. You ever had that going on? Preacher, I would go to church, but you know, this week I've got to do this. And if we're not careful, we start neglecting our relationship with God. And I find people not only neglect their relationship with God, so many times we get so busy in our calendars and we schedule everything on our calendar that we neglect our family. And really, we overlook the church because, you know, the church seems like, well, it's a good place to belong, but as long as I don't have to go there so often. And during the summer, yeah, we all take vacations that. But, you know, a lot of us neglect the church all year long. And it's not the church so much, but when we neglect that, we neglect our spiritual lives. And that becomes wrong. Solomon was busy. He said, I sought wine or folly, and, you know, I made great works and all of this, and I built and I planted and I acquired and I gathered. And I thought to myself, you know, when I read that scripture, that sounds just like me. It sounds just like my life. So I'm not only speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself today. And we seek after pleasure, he said. We always want to be entertained, don't we? I know on the 4th of July, we all watched the fireworks, we all watched the entertainment, and we spent a lot of time watching the entertainment. Did we spend time with God? You see, we become so busy so many times and so resolved in our life to be merry and to be entertained that we let God fall aside. And in that busyness, we neglect God. You see, he says he sought wine. Wine is a mocker, the Bible says. It cheats people. It makes fun of them. And, you know, we do things in our life and we think, well, I can get a hold on this and I can stop it anytime I want to. And sometimes we sin and we run to our sin and we think, well, you know, it's not really all that bad. And when I go far enough, I'll quit. And first thing you know, it's got a hold of us. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. I'll guarantee you that. And you cannot serve God and the world too. It just don't work that way. You've got to put your priorities on the things of God, the Bible says. Solomon said, I built all of these things and it was nothing. He says, I made, I built. In the beginning, he talks about, he built a house for God. And then he planted the vineyards and, oh, there was none compared to him. And God blessed this man Solomon in his life. You read about him. God blessed him in all that he did, yet in the midst of all the business and all the blessings, if you look at it, his life became very cluttered. And sometimes we think the busier we are, the better we are. Well, that's not always true in life, is it? And then he says there's not only being busy, there's that constant pursuit of gain. If you look on down, boy, he bought this, he bought that, he gained more, he gained this, he bought fields, he had his own singers to sing to him. He had his own praise band to come play music to him. He owned it. He didn't have to come to church on Sunday. He had it in his mansion. He had it there. Everything that somebody could want, he pursued it. And he goes on and says, silver and gold, man, I had more than anybody. You'd think he'd be happy, wouldn't you? And he says, I gained so much, he was greater than anybody before him in Jerusalem. He was greater in owning anything. And you know what I hear people say? Well, preacher, you know, I could be happy if I only had this. And I could be happy if I only did this. And the first thing you know, their life is not happy, and their children are not happy, and they find themselves like Solomon, not happy. They're like chasing the wind, you see, and they have disobeyed God. They've cluttered their life up with things that they've lost their family, they've lost their God, and they have neglected life. A rich fellow one time, John D. Rockefeller, said these words. They said, how much more would it be take to really satisfy you? He was a wealthy man, if you don't know that. And he answered, just a little bit more. You see, it's always, we want a little bit more. We want to gain just a little bit more. And we are in constant pursuit of things in our life, in our drawers, in our closets, in our houses, and our garages are already full. You know what we call that? When someone does that, out of control. They're out of control. People are out of control sometimes on their spending. They're out of control on their credit cards, and they run up their credit cards. Why? They're out of control in their life, and they're always wanting something else. But those things do not satisfy them. That was his. He was business, it led to more business. He was gaining, it led to always getting a little bit more. And his life, in Solomon's life, was spiraling out of control. Now the danger is, when we're out of control, we don't understand that. Amen? We don't realize that we're out of control, do we? We think we've got it all handled. I hear parents telling me all the time, "Old preacher, I've got everything. I've got it under control. Me and God's got it all worked out." The trouble is, they've got it worked out and God's left out. And they don't realize that. You don't work it out with God. You give it to God. You see? You give your life to God. And the problem is, most of the time, we're out of control in our lives. And we think we got it settled, but our lives are so cluttered with busyness, with gaining, that we're just out of control. And that gain is what motivates us instead of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we don't ever have it in control. You live one day at a time, one moment at a time, and you better thank God for the moment He gives you. It can be taken away just like that. You see? What motivated you to come to church this morning? Think about that. What motivated you to get up and come to church this morning? We must always be focused on Jesus Christ. Don't let your life get cluttered with busyness. Don't let your life get cluttered with gaining things. Now, let's look at not only the characteristics of a cluttered life, but we see here in this passage of Scripture the consequences of a cluttered life. He said, "When I reflected on all that I've accomplished," in verse 11, "all the effort that I had expended to accomplish it, all these achievements and possessions, they're profitless. They're nothing. They're like chasing the wind." You see, the consequences of a cluttered life, living a cluttered life, is loss in it. Loss of the physical. Loss of the physical. Let's think about that just a moment. I've got some physical watches in that drawer I talked about, but I've lost them. Man, I know I bought something last year, and it was just what I needed at the time. And you know, talking about cluttered closets, Rhonda don't even walk into my closet. She's afraid she'll die. She might have a heart attack. But I put that up. I needed it. Never did open it. I put it up. And the other day I thought, well, you know, I know a person that could use this, and I think I could give it to him. And I thought, well, I'm going to go find it. I hadn't found that yet. You know what? I looked through that cluttered closet. I looked through every bag in that closet. I hadn't found it. I lost it. Now, that's just a physical loss, but we lose physically in our life also the same way. When we're so busy and that we lose the physical life that God has given us. I've lost some precious moments being so busy gaining things in the world that, hey, I've heard parents say, wish I'd spent more time with my mother and dad. I wish I'd spent more time physically with my kids doing things, but I had to work. I thought I had to work. I thought I had to work. You know, we're workaholics sometimes. And let me tell you, you only have those children once. You better spend some time with them. You only have your parents for a little while. You better spend some time with them. Because when they're gone, you don't have them anymore. That's a consequence of being so busy. And a cluttered life is we lose things physically. Not only that, we lose spiritually. We get so busy with our business and stuff that we lose spiritually in our prayer time. I don't know about you, but the world will crowd out your prayer life if you're not careful. You can get up in the morning, you can, if you don't pray, or if you don't set aside a time to pray, or if you don't do, you don't have some kind of relationship with God where you just pray, you know, you can get so busy. The first thing you know, you've gone through half of the day, amen, and you realize, man, I didn't even spend any time in prayer. I didn't even thank God for what He blessed me with today. I didn't thank God for that breakfast I had. I didn't thank God for the house I had. I didn't thank God for the car that I got to work in, or not having a flat on the way to work. We forget about those things till they happen to us. But we lose spiritually in our prayer life if we're not careful. Not only that, we lose spiritually in our Bible life, our study of God's Word. We get so busy, we have everything else. I'm so glad that our people have set aside a time to come to Bible study with Brother Jay. You who do that, 53 of you last week, you who do that are blessed by it, amen? I hear you. I hear somebody say, well, you know, I went to that Bible study and it blessed my heart. Those who come on Wednesday night say, preacher, it blesses my heart. I don't see how people can stay away. It's busy. Their lives are cluttered and they lose spiritually. Not only that, you lose emotionally, you see. Our lives are so wrapped up in going and doing that we are emotional burnouts. Amen. We're emotional wrecks in our life. I have more people that just lose it because they're literally running themselves to death, seeking, gaining, doing. And you know what? We leave God out, and that's a consequence of a cluttered life. Solomon looked back over his life and said, all of these that I've toiled to achieve mean nothing. Mean nothing. Even though I have more than any man in Jerusalem and own more of everything and I've gained everything, it's all meaningless when it comes to the end of life. You die. Vanity, he says, emptiness, vain. The word God has given us is meaningless because we don't read it. We don't understand it. And all our possessions, oh, we're unhappy at the end of life because they mean nothing. Our relationships fail. You know what's wrong with America today? It's not that. I believe what's wrong with America, just to be honest, we turned away from God. But the family unit has been broken up. As the family goes, so goes the nation. And the family unit today is broke, broke, broke. And one reason it's broke is our lives have been cluttered with everything. I heard of a man and a woman. They've been married for 40-something years, and that's a long time. And they were getting a divorce because they just wasn't happy anymore. And I thought, why? They've got everything in the world, and that's the problem. They left God out. They've got all that life on them, and they come like old Solomon. He said, I've got all the concubines there are, and I'm still unhappy. Some are here today, and you're paying the price of a cluttered life. You see the characteristics, and you see those things that cause a cluttered life. Well, the cluttered life lies in the problem lies in the heart, the Bible tells us. You see, he says in verse 1, I thought to myself, come now, I will try self-indulgence. Look at that. He tried self-indulgence. That lies in a heart. What can life give me, he said. What can I get from life? You know, look at what the times he uses the word I thought, I will, I said, I thought, I might, I increased, I built, I planted, I designed. He is filled with self. If you go back and look in the King James Version, it doesn't hear so much. 26 times he uses that word I. And he uses the word me and mine and myself 24 times. Friend, what's wrong? Self had taken over in Solomon's life, and self has taken over in a lot of your lives right now. And if, you know, like I said earlier, some of us don't even realize that. We have a whole lot of people in this room today that have no room for God. And we didn't mean to have no room for God. We just put him in a drawer somewhere. And we think one day we'll pull him out of that drawer and he'll be like our fire insurance. But let me tell you something. Your life's going to be so cluttered, you're going to be like my closet. He's not going to answer when you call, because your life is so full of stuff. I told Brother Bill this morning, we were sitting there, and people who come on Sunday morning love the preacher. I hope you do. People who come on Sunday night, they love the church. And people who come on Wednesday night, well, they love God. But think about that. Where's your life? I think a lot of us are cluttered, aren't we? So many have gained in the world, but in doing so, we've lost sight of God. Now, is God in our heart this morning? I'm going to tell you the cure for the cluttered life, just like that drawer or just like that closet. The other day, I went through that closet, took everything out, put it on the floor, and straightened things out. You ever do that? Like that drawer you dump out on the bed or dump out on the floor, and you sit there and you put things back and straighten things up. Well, the cure for the cluttered life is to get things straightened out. And to do that, it has to be just you and God in a time of solitude or quiet time. And say, Lord, here am I. I'm closing out the things of the world. I'm pushing everything out, and I'm going to start over. And Lord, here am I in solitude. Listen to what God says in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And the folks, we realize we are not still enough to hear God speak to us. And we need that still time in our life. And they drew aside. You see, when Jesus, when life got so many trials coming his way, the Bible says he went to a place. He drew aside into the mountain to pray and seek the Father's face. Folks, if Jesus thought it important enough to pull aside from the daily activities to a quiet place and just speak to his Father, shouldn't we in our life? And if you don't schedule that, if you don't take time for that, let me tell you something. The clutter of life will crowd it out. So have a quiet retreat. Just get away by yourself or your family. Are you wife? Away from the noise, away from the rush of life, where you can just say, here am I, Lord, speak to me. And then secondly, give focus to Jesus. Focus on God. How do you do that? Well, I just couldn't help but see those kids up there. You know what? Last year, Teddy mentioned it, those kids came back. They were on cloud number 9. That was the best camp some of them said they'd ever been to. And let me tell you something. Our kids here have gone to camp where they've been entertained, where they've been boat riding, where they've done all kinds of things in their life. And they've come back and they didn't really meet God there. But in service to someone else, they went down there in a project. The kids that went, not for entertainment, but to serve somebody else. And in doing so, serve Jesus. And you know what? They come back and they say, you know, that's the best camp ever. Wouldn't it be great if we as adults could do that same thing? Just say, God, you know, I'm going to serve somebody else instead of myself. Our major purpose in life is not to accumulate. Our major purpose in life is to give to Jesus. Focus on Jesus Christ. And at the conclusion of your life, when it's all said and done, if you have lived your life cluttered, you've missed it all. But if you live your life focused on Jesus, there's a man in the Bible that focused on Jesus. He gave it all up for Jesus Christ. And he comes to the end of his days and he says, I am ready. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. Hence laid up for me is a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge, God, shall give me. He was full of Jesus. And his life meant something. Solomon was full of the world. And he says, it's like chasing the wind. There's nothing gained at all. So, life can be cluttered. What do you need to do? Straighten your life out. Get right with God. And just focus on serving Jesus. Focus on serving Jesus. That's all I should have come to church for today, just to serve Jesus with my life. Not worry about anything else, just serve Jesus. And when you get to the end of life, it'll be a reward, not a regret. If you're here this morning and your life is cluttered, you filled it in with the world instead of Jesus, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't know if you have or not. Only you know that. But if you're not saved, then you need to start by giving your life to Jesus Christ. That's the way to get your life straightened out. You can give it to the world, and the world, it's a crooked path. But if you give it to Jesus, I mean you surrender to Jesus, he'll straighten things out in your life. And then if you're here and you've accepted Jesus Christ, and your life is cluttered with all the things that we tried to gain, you need to empty them out and say, Lord, I just want to put all that you give me in the drawer. My heart will be full of Jesus. I will serve you. And I'll guarantee you, when you get through the end of the week, you'll look back on that week and say, it's been a good week. It's been a blessed week because I've given it to Jesus, not myself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, if there's someone here this morning whose life is so turned around and so cluttered up, Lord, even mine, Lord, just let us renew our relationship with you. Let us get back to focusing on you. Let us spend some quiet time with you. Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost and they don't know if they're saved or not, Lord, let them come this morning and say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. May they do that. Lord, if there's someone here that's burning the candle at both ends and all we're doing is burning our life up, Lord, let us use it for you. I'd rather be burnt out for Jesus than the things of the world. And Lord, may we live our lives focused on you from this day forward. Lord, give our time to you. Give our time to the church. Give our time to serving others instead of self. And God, if there's someone here like that, may they just come to the altar and get those things straightened out, realigned, refocused. We give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.